Lord, we love you. You are so good to us. You are everything. And we come to you this morning. We are thankful for your word. We are thankful that you have preserved your word through your servant Paul, as we're going to read Philippians 3 again this morning. I just pray your word would speak to us today. And Lord, I confess that our hearts are often drawn to lesser treasures. Our hearts are so easily distracted by the things of this world. And we are tempted to place our confidence in things that cannot save us. And we also put it into treasures that cannot satisfy us. So we ask today, Lord, as we open your word, we invite your Holy Spirit to be in our midst, that we may have our eyes open to see the surpassing worth of our Savior and your Son, Jesus Christ. So I pray, Lord, this morning that you would help us see Christ clearly, help us to love Christ more deeply, and help us to treasure Christ above all things. And Lord, for those who are here this morning who know you, would you strengthen our faith, deepen our joy? And Lord, if there are people here this morning who do not know you, our prayer, Lord, is that you would draw them to yourself, grant them repentance and faith. But in all things, Lord, we pray that Christ will be exalted, your word will be accomplished, and it will accomplish your purpose. And may your spirit work powerfully among us this morning. We ask all these things in the precious name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. If you have your Bibles, please open them to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, and you can remain standing because we're going to read our text in a second. But as you're opening your Bibles to Philippians chapter 3, I just want to remind us that every person, I don't care who you are, is pursuing something they believe is worth pursuing. We all pursue things that we believe that are worth having, and that could be success, it could be security, comfort, reputation, achievement, even religion. And we found what Paul has told us in the last few weeks, that he thought he found it. Paul thought he found it in his pedigree and his reputation. And he thought he had all the respect the world should offer him. But he met Christ on the road to Damascus, and everything changed in the life of Paul. Which is interesting. We have Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. What actually happened, where he met the Lord on the road to Damascus. But we don't really know what was happening in Paul's heart. This morning, we're going to read that right now. We're going to find that Christ is worth more than everything we could gain, and better than everything we can lose. So if you have your Bibles open to Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 7, Paul says, "But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, and may share his suffering, becoming like him in death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead." May the Lord bless the reading of his inerrant, perfect word. You may be seated. Just to kind of remind us from last week Paul showed us that the bankruptcy of religion, of self-righteousness, He laid it on the table. And last week we basically talked about how Paul threw down. He says, oh, if you think you have it all, let me tell you about my life. Let me tell you about my heritage, my religion. Let me tell you about my passion, my morality. And then he says, and none of that saved him. So if you have your outline, if you want to follow along, point number one, we see a new accounting. Verse 7, Paul says, whatever gain I had, I counted as loss. But I want you to notice what that verse starts with. It starts with the word but. Paul is saying everything has changed. He's going to move from his resume of being a Hebrew of Hebrews, being born from the tribe of Benjamin, being an Israelite. He's moving from that to his Redeemer, Christ. And the language also changes. It changes to like an accounting language. He uses the words profit. He uses the words lost. He's talking assets and liabilities. He's talking about columns in a ledger, if you will. And Paul says, I place everything at one time. All my heritage, my ancestry, my righteousness, my zeal. That was all in my gain column. But when I met Christ, it all became loss. And we read of his pedigree, his heritage, his zeal. Everything this world would admire. Everything that we would trust in as well. Everything that Paul boasts in. And now he says, it is lost. Loss. Loss. And we got to ask, why? Why is this lost now? Simply, he met Jesus. He met Christ. And everything changed when Paul met the risen Lord. And again, in chapter 9 of Acts, we see Paul on the Damascus Road coming to the point, meeting Christ on the road. And the righteousness that Paul had been pursuing all his life, the one thing that he was pursuing as a Pharisee was righteousness. And on the road to Damascus, what he was pursuing was standing right in front of him in the person of Jesus Christ. The acceptance that he tried to earn was found in Christ. The salvation that he tried to achieve in his passion and zeal was found in Christ. And the treasure that he had spent his life searching for was found in Christ. And suddenly, everything was revalued in Paul's life. Not because those things were evil. What family you're from, your passion and zeal, those aren't evil things. But some of those things can be competitors to Christ. And for Paul, when Paul met Christ, when Christ appeared, all those treasures, all those things that he thought were gain, lost its shine, lost its glory. And friends, that's what happens when you truly see Jesus Christ. The things of this world just kind of don't have the same shine and pop to it. And I'm not talking about merely learning about Jesus, not studying about Jesus, or even agreeing with the facts of Jesus, but seeing Christ for who he truly is. Who is Christ? He's the Son of God. He's the Savior of sinners. He's the Lamb that takes away the sins of this world. He is the King of Kings. He is the one who is altogether lovely. And he is the one worthy of all our worship. And when Christ becomes precious to you, Everything else finds its proper place. Jesus told a parable. It's a very famous parable in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44. And Jesus basically says, the kingdom of heaven is like what? A treasure hidden in a field. And the parable goes like this. The man joyfully sold everything when he found that treasure. And you got to ask, why? Why would this man sell everything for this treasure? Not because he loved losing things. He didn't sell everything because he likes getting rid of things. No. He found something greater than what he had. And the man was not grieving his losses. He was celebrating his gain. My shirt's too long. It's keep pulling up, pulling out of my new jacket. I'm pretty happy about this jacket. I went into Men's Warehouse the other day, and the lady was showing me all these jackets. And I'm like, oh, how much is that? I'm like, oh, $350. I'm like, oh, yeah, I don't need a jacket that bad. And then she showed me all these jackets, and I said, and I see some red stickers over there. And I'm like, I walked over there, and all of a sudden she like disappeared. She didn't follow me. So I tried on one of the jackets, and I said, how's this one look? And she's like, yeah, it's not that nice. I'm like, oh, okay. So I looked through some more jackets, and I put this one on. And then I didn't ask her. I walked back to where the real expensive ones were. I said, how's this one look? She goes, that looks good. And I thought, oh, my gosh, $59. I was so happy. I said, thank you. I think she kind of, oh, man. Praise the Lord. Oh, my goodness. Where am I in my notes? But this man who sold everything, all his friends who were watching him didn't think he was crazy. They might have at first. But what they found when this man found his treasure, he found Christ. Christ was his treasure. And that's the question I need to ask you. What sits in your gain column? What sits in your life of things that you must have to be happy? What do you have in your gain column? It could be your family, and it could be all these things. But what, honestly, do you have in your gain column that you know that you must have to be happy? And if you're having a hard time coming up with something, ask the people closest to you. They'll tell you exactly what you want to make you happy. To be secure. To be satisfied. Is it success? Is it health? Is it comfort? Is it a good retirement? Is it your family? Is it your children? You don't want them to leave? You want them to be perfect? Yes, yes. But you want them ministry? Is it reputation? None of those things are necessarily sinful. None of those things are bad. But here's the problem. When those things become ultimate, they become competitors to Christ. And friends, Christ will not share first place. And if he is sharing, I can tell you right now, you are not enjoying life right now. And that's what Paul is saying. People don't leave lesser treasures behind because they hate them. They leave them because they found something better. And that's what Paul is saying here. I gave up all of these things because Christ is better. I've gained Christ. He is worth more than everything we could ever gain. He is better than everything we could ever lose. And Paul is not mourning his loss. He's rejoicing in his gain. And that is point one. Point number two. The surpassing worth of Christ. The surpassing worth of Christ. This is the center of this passage. This is the heartbeat of Philippians chapter 3. And this is the reason why Paul gladly moves everything that he ever looked at as gain to the lost column. And look at the text. It says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord." Friends, Paul does not merely say Christ is valuable. He says Christ is surpassing valuable. It's a word he can't even explain, really. It's infinitely valuable. He's incomparably valuable. He's beyond comparison, beyond measurement, beyond estimation. It's hard to explain this word. And Paul is searching for language. The word that he can find is surpassing. Excelling, supreme, superior rank, far above everything else. That's who Christ is to him. And Christ is not merely one treasure among many. He is the treasure above all treasures. Friends, in Cambodia and in Asia, you know, people, the world is lost. They lived in darkness for years. And when they hear about Christ, a lot of them think, oh, that sounds good. And they put Christ on a shelf. And you look in their house and they have like this shelves. And they have all these different gods and idols. It's the saddest thing. But we do the same thing with the things that we pursue. Christ is not ultimate. He's just another god on the shelf. And friends, if you think Christ in heaven, you know, you think about heaven. Just think about it. You know, you get saved, you come to faith in Christ. Oh, yes, I'm going to heaven. Do you know that if we get to heaven and Christ is not there, that would not be heaven? If we get to heaven and Jesus isn't there, that's not heaven. The glory of heaven is not merely a place. The glory of heaven is Christ himself. To be with Christ. And again, Paul does not say knowing about Christ. He doesn't say knowing facts about Christ or knowing theology about Jesus. Right? There's a great difference in studying honey. Right? We can read about honey, you know. It's like, oh, honey is sweet. Honey tastes delicious. We can study it. We can discuss it. Or we can eat it. And what happens when you eat it? You know it's sweet. You know it's delicious. I was thinking about my brother Richard. He loves frosting. And they were making cake the other day. And he can look at that can all day long. And it looks good. But until you taste it, then you know it's good. And then Brenda had to throw it away because he was eating the whole box all by himself. So Paul is not talking about knowing facts. He's not talking about knowing information. He's literally saying knowing Jesus Christ personally. Another example could be on my phone. I have hundreds of pictures of my wife. And I can look at it. And I can say, wow, she looks beautiful. She's great. But it's just a picture. It doesn't replace being with her. So in the same way, Paul is not talking about merely learning facts about Christ. He's not talking about just studying the Bible about Christ. He's not talking about accumulating information about Christ. He's talking about knowing Christ himself. And he says, know Christ personally, relationally, savingly, and worshipfully. And friends, I've been saying this for the past few weeks. Christianity is not a religion. Christianity is a relationship. Christianity is not ultimately a system. It's not a philosophy. And it's not a moral code, nor is it a religion. Christianity is knowing the living Christ, the person of Christ. And we should ask, who is this Christ? Who is he? He's the eternal Son of God. He is the one whom all things were made. All things are created by him and through him, and he upholds the world by the power of his word. Colossians 1:6, that he created all things. Hebrews 1:3 says he is the radiance and the exact representation of God himself. Revelation 19, he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Revelation 5:12, he is the Lamb who was slain for sinners. And in 1 Corinthians 15, he is the risen Savior who conquered death. And friends, everything your soul is longing for is found in Christ. Everything that your soul is longing for is found in Christ. The acceptance that you seek, the forgiveness that you need, the peace that you crave, the purpose that you pursue in life, the joy that you chase every day, and the security you desire, and the love, the ultimate love that you were made for, is all found in Jesus. The ultimate love that you were made for is not in some woman or some man. It is in Christ Jesus. And friends, if Christ is just merely useful to you, you haven't met his full worth. And Paul here is not saying that he's using Christ. Paul is saying he treasures Christ. And we can talk about the gifts that are found in Christ, and they're wonderful. All the gifts that are in Christ are amazing. Right? The gift of forgiveness, the gift of peace, the gift of joy, the gift of hope, the gift of eternal life. All of those things in Christ are glorious. But the greatest gift of the gospel is not merely what Christ gives us. It's not the gifts that are in Christ. The greatest gift is himself. It's Christ himself. And like I said earlier, heaven would not be heaven if Christ is not there. Eternal life would not be life if Christ is not there. The joy of the redeemed is not merely escaping judgment. Your salvation is not like, oh, we're going to escape judgment. No, the joy of your salvation is Christ. Knowing him. Seeing him, enjoying him forever. And that's why Paul says, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. Not merely receiving the gifts from him, although those are wonderful, but knowing him. Augustine, the great theologian and pastor of the early church, he spent years pursuing pleasure. Augustine did. He spent years pursuing philosophy, success, and recognition. But when he met the Lord, and after he came to saving faith in Christ, this is what he said. You have made us for yourself. Our hearts are restless until they find our rest in you. Friends, that's profound. God made us for himself, and our souls are restless until we find rest in him. And here in Philippians 3:8, everything else promised, everything else that the world offers, satisfaction, joy, is only found in Christ. So as the pastor of Lone Hill Church, I just got to remind us that all of us have hearts that are searching for something. Something we believe will satisfy that craving in our heart. Something we believe will complete us. We're all searching for that. The world offers countless substitutes. The world offers money, success, comfort, relationships, achievement, pleasure, recognition. And they all make the same promise. If you have me, you will finally be happy. That's what the world offers. I know all of us love to watch television. We do. It's what we have. And we know that the world offers 1,000 saviors. Every commercial that we see on TV is a miniature gospel message. It really is. Every commercial that we see, it tells us what's wrong with you, what you need, what will make you happy, what will save you, and where you will find happiness. Every one of them. Every commercial, but every one of those things that they offer will eventually fail because they cannot keep the promise, because our souls were made for something greater. Our souls were made for Christ. And the greatest treasure is not something Christ gives. The greatest treasure is Christ himself. And friends, we can possess everything this world offers. We can have everything and still feel empty. That's why Jesus tells, and I think it's in Luke chapter 9, verse 25, that you can gain the whole world and still lose your soul. Gain the whole world. And I don't know how many times I've turned the TV and I've heard guys like all these actors saying, I just feel empty. I have everything. I have all the success. I have all these relationships. And yet, I just don't have peace. But if you have Christ, you possess a treasure that will never be exhausted. You will never come to the end of his beauty. You will never come to the end of his mercy. You will never come to the end of his wisdom. And you will never come to the end of his great love for us. In 1,000 years, 5,000 years, 10,000 years, 1,000,000 years into eternity, and we will still discover reasons to worship him. And that is why Paul says everything else in this world is lost, because Christ is better. And again, Paul is not saying the things that are in Christ are not valuable. They are, because they bring us to him. Every blessing of salvation is precious. Forgiveness is precious, to be forgiven. As far as my sins are to the east and west is west, is amazing. Justification is precious. Adoption, being adopted into the Father of God, is precious. Eternal life is precious. Heaven is precious. But all those things find their ultimate value in this one thing. They bring us Christ. and fellowship with Christ. And that's why Paul says that Christ is the ultimate gain. He is the treasure. He is the pearl of great price. He's worth more than everything we can gain. And he's better than anything we can lose. So let's move to point three. Losing everything and gaining Christ. In verse 8, he says, "For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish." Now, this is pretty cool. Think about how many times Paul uses the word loss. In verse 7, he says, "I counted as lost." Verse 8, "I count everything as loss." And then here he says, "I have suffered the loss of all things." He keeps repeating this word, loss, loss, loss. Why? Because he wants us to see the magnitude of what has happened when he met the risen Christ. Everything in his life has changed. Everything was revalued. Everything in Paul's life was reassessed. Everything was measured now against Christ. And Christ surpassed all. And then, do you see that word he used? I count all these things as rubbish. That word rubbish, it means garbage, waste, like dung. It's a bad word in some places. It's what goes down the toilet. But he's not saying that all these things that he had were of no earthly value. His education was of value. Education's good. His heritage, his family was a valuable thing. His knowledge of God was valuable. His accomplishments were valuable. But what his point is in this text, but compared to Christ, none of those things have any saving value. My heritage, all my study, my family, my passion, no ultimate value, no eternal value. And what he's saying here, this is an issue of comparison. It's kind of like in our bedroom, Andrew will say, "Oh, you left the porch light on." I'm like, "Oh, yeah." And sometimes I'll get it and then I forget. And then in the morning I wake up and I forget it's on. Why? Because the sun has come out. And I don't notice that the light is on. It's like the stars. The stars are still there come the morning time. But what's the difference? A greater light has shone. Stars are still there. And that's what happened to Paul. All these things were still there, but they all faded when he saw Christ, the light of the world. So what kind of treasure is Christ? Christ is the one who loved Paul before he loved Christ. Christ is the one who pursued Paul when Paul was persecuting the church. Christ is the one who stopped him on the Damascus road. And Christ is the one who forgave him of his sin. And Christ is the one who clothed him with righteousness. And Christ is the one who made Paul a son of God. And Christ is the one who promised him eternal life. And why is Christ the surpassing worth? Because it wasn't Paul who climbed down to Christ. It was Christ who came down to Paul. It is Christ who came down to each and every one of us. It is Christ who came for us. It is Christ who pursued you. And you all have a Damascus road. And Christ found you there first. Not that you were looking for him. He rescued you. He opened your eyes to see his beauty. And now Paul is saying, he is so great that we should spend the rest of our lives pursuing Him and knowing Him. Not just knowing about Him, but knowing Him, trusting Him, resting in Him, listening to Him, worshiping Him, believing His Word. Paul found the one whom his soul was made. And once Paul found Christ, everything in his life was nothing. It was dung. It was poop to him. The great missionary Jim Elliot understood this. Before he gave his life in the Ecuadorian jungles, he had wrote this quote, "He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He is no fool who gives what he cannot keep." Friends, you can accumulate all the things in this world. You can't keep it. To gain what he cannot lose. You cannot lose your salvation. In Philippians 3, we see Paul lost much. He really did. Paul lost his status. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. Wherever he went, he was recognized as someone important. He had a livelihood. He had knowledge. All these things were good. He probably had a really nice home. But he wrote this from prison. He had no more privileges, I would say. He lost his status, his reputation, his acceptance, his security, his family ties, future opportunities. But he gained Christ. It's beautiful. And friends, here's the point. I can talk all I want, all morning long. But when someone truly encounters Christ, something in their life changes. If you encounter Christ, something in your life truly changes. Not perfectly, not instantly, but genuinely, yes, something changes. When Paul met Christ, his value changed. His ambition changed. His confidence changed. His desires changed. The small things that he once lived for became small. Because Christ became precious. So you have to ask yourself in the quietness of your heart, whatever that means, if you claim to know Christ, but Christ has never changed what you love, has Christ changed the things that you've trusted in? Never change the direction of your life, then you honestly have to ask yourself, have you truly, truly seen Christ for who He is? Because no one encounters the risen Christ and remains unchanged. And the point of this passage is not, have I give up things? What are the things I'm giving up? No, the point of this passage is, have you seen what Paul has seen? Because when Paul saw Christ, when he saw Him, everything in his life was revalued. Everything was revalued. So what would it take for you to look at your greatest treasure? What would it take for you to look at what you treasure more than anything in this world and say Christ is better? And you're like, well, what are you talking about? Well, what if you lost your reputation? Would Christ still be enough? What if you lost your health? Would Christ still be enough? What if you lost your comfort, your plans, your security? Would Christ be enough? Because Paul's testimony is this, friends. You can lose everything this world has to offer and still possess everything that ultimately matters. And that is, you have Christ. And here's the cool thing. And this is what we struggle with. Paul did not lose everything when he found Christ. He found everything. Because he gained Christ. Because forgiveness is found in Christ. Righteousness is found in Christ. Peace is found in Christ. Our joy is found in Christ. Eternal life is found in Christ. And Christ himself is better than all of those gifts. And that is why Paul says that all of these things in his life are loss, 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 rubbish. Because compared to Christ, everything else is small. And we go into our fourth point, verse 9. And this may be the summit of the passage. Maybe one of the greatest verses of all Scripture. Philippians 3, 9. Paul says, not having a righteousness of my own. Paul spent his whole life pursuing righteousness, trying to establish righteousness, trying to earn righteousness, trying to become righteous. And now he says, not having a righteousness of my own. Church, these words would have shocked every Pharisee during Paul's time, because righteousness was everything. It was their goal. It was their pursuit. It was their boast. It was their confidence. And Paul says, I don't want that righteousness anymore. It's worthless. Think about it. The very thing Paul spent his entire life to achieve, he is now rejecting. Why? Because he found something better. He found righteousness that comes from God, a righteousness that is received only by faith, not earned. Not something you can prove, something you receive by faith, a righteousness secured by Christ. And friends, this is the gospel. Every religion in this world says to become righteous, you have to do something to become righteous. The gospel says, receive. You can't become, receive. Religion says work harder. The gospel says trust Christ. Religion says earn it. Earn, work. The gospel says Christ. And Paul spent years trying to earn what God now freely gives through his son Christ. And Paul says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law. And again, friends, every religion in this world, every one of them, every religion says what? Do. Christianity? Done. Every other religion says you must do this, do that, do this, do that. Christianity says, done. The law demands righteousness. Christ fulfills our righteousness. The law of God exposes sin. Christ pays for our sin. The law condemns sinners. Christ justified sinners. This is another great verse, 2 Corinthians 5:21. This is one of the, probably the, to me, one of the greatest verses in the Bible. 2 Corinthians 5:21, Jesus, Paul's saying, "For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." What is he saying? Our sin is placed on Christ, and his righteousness is credited to us. And this is not infused. This is not you earn it. This is not you gradually accumulate. No, it is immediately credited to believers by faith. It is given to us. It is received, all done by Christ. Romans 3:22, that righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. God's righteousness requires that we all have to be holy. We have to live a life that pleases God. Guess what? We can't. But how do we become holy? The same thing that God requires, he provides. The righteousness, God provides it in his Son, Jesus Christ. God never lowers his standards, but he meets them all in his Son, Jesus. That is the good news, friends. To be holy. This is called the Great Exchange. Martin Luther said, "The Great Exchange, that my sin is placed on Christ, and Christ's righteousness is placed upon me." The Great Exchange. Other theologians call it double imputation. The same thing, my sin, all my sin is imputed, credited to Christ, and all of Christ's righteousness is imputed or credited to me. So what does that mean? How does that work out? Simply this, that at the cross, Christ was treated as if he lived my life. Christ was treated as if he lived your life. But also at the cross, by faith, I get treated, you get treated as if you lived his life. That is justification by faith. At the cross, Christ was treated as if he lived our life, so that by faith I can be treated as if I lived his life. And friends, that is astonishing. That is breathtaking. That is the greatest news anyone could hear and believe. And therefore we boast in Christ Jesus, because he is far worth more than anything that we could ever gain. And only Christ can do this. Money cannot do this. Your reputation cannot do this. Your ministry cannot do this. My morality cannot do this. And my family cannot do this. Only Christ can stand between a holy God and guilty sinners. Only Christ can satisfy divine justice. Only Christ can provide perfect righteousness. And only Christ can reconcile us to God. And church, everything Paul spent his life pursuing, he found in the person of Christ. Acceptance, righteousness, peace, security, hope. And this is it, friends. It's not temporary. It's eternally. So friends, when you stand before God one day, what righteousness will you bring? Will you bring your own, or will you bring Christ? Because every one of us will stand before God. And at that moment, your family's not going to save you. Your money's not going to save you. Your accomplishments are not going to save you. All the good things, your good deeds will not save you. Your Bible knowledge will not save you. Only Christ can save you. It's all Christ. And that's why Paul says, lost, lost, lost. Because compared to gaining Christ, everything else just fades away. And friends, one day, every earthly treasure will fade. Every possession that we possess will be left behind. Every accomplishment will disappear. Every reputation will be forgotten. Every resume will be buried in the dust. But you know what will remain? Christ. Christ will still be glorious. Christ will still be sufficient. Christ will still be worthy. Christ will still be enough. And after 10,000 years in eternity, the redeemed will gather around, not admiring what we've done, but we'll gather around the throne, marveling at our Christ, worshiping our Christ, enjoying our Christ, treasuring Christ forever. So my encouragement this morning, friends, is enjoy Christ now. Treasure Christ now. Know Christ now. Trust Christ now. Rest in Christ now. Because the soul that gains Christ has gained what he can never lose. For Christ is worth more than anything we can gain, and better than anything we can lose. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for reminding us that Christ is worth more than everything we could gain and better than anything we could lose. We thank you when we're unable to make ourselves perfect and righteous because, Lord, you have provided that in Christ Jesus, your Son. Thank you for his perfect life. Thank you for his death on the cross. And Lord, we look forward to his victorious return. And Lord, I just pray that you would help us from all trusting in ourselves, pursuing things of this world that really, in the end, are just worthless compared to you. If they get in our way of loving you and knowing you, Lord, would you give us the boldness and the courage to walk away from those things? Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's a hobby. Maybe it's a job. Lord, you're ultimate God and you work in our hearts. Show us the things that we really are distracting us from knowing you. Lord, we just pray that we would treasure you, that we would find our comfort in you, that when suffering comes, that you will still be our treasure. When loss comes, we will still see you as our treasure. May we be found rejoicing in you, not merely in the gifts that you have provided, but in you. For you are our righteousness, you are our peace, you are our hope, and you are our treasure. And I pray all this in the glorious name of Jesus Christ.